Okay, you can take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10, because that's where we're going to start. And tonight I'm sharing, and the title of my teaching is Renewed Mind, a Matter of Heart. So a few months ago, I was having a rough time renewing my mind to this one situation, and so I finally went to God in prayer, and the next day, God showed me this verse in the scriptures and then continued to show me things in the scriptures regarding the renewed mind that kind of just blew my mind. I looked at the renewed mind in a whole new light. So the renewed mind is a matter of heart. And the two words, renewed mind, is only used in the New Testament, and we're going to see why that is. And then we're going to look at attributes of renewing the mind but you also have to keep in mind that even though that those two words, renewed mind, is only in the New Testament, the attributes of the renewed mind are throughout the whole entire Word of God. And we're going to see that we're the ones to have to renew our minds, but we're also going to see that God will help us to do that. So we're going to start in Romans chapter 10. That was one of the big things for me when God showed me that he would help me to renew my mind. And I just never, because I guess from the time I got in the Word, everybody just kind of drove it into you. You have to renew your mind. You have to renew your mind. Well, I knew that, but he didn't know that God would help me. So anyway... So in Romans chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith, and that's believing faith, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, is the word of faith which we preach. And that second word, faith, is the right way of believing. The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of the right way of believing which we preach. And in verses 6 through 8, those verses are actually quoted in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 and 14. It's pretty interesting. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the word heart there means the inner man. It is the seat of spiritual life, the thoughts of the mind where believing emanates. And when we confess that and believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and God raised him from the dead, we get born again. We get the Spirit of God within us. We get that new nature that Jesus Christ had, and that God gave to us, and we're saved, we're made whole. And in that saving, we not only got the Spirit of God, but we were made whole in every category of our lives. God didn't just give us a spirit, he gave us a complete deliverance when we believed his word. And in verse 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That word believeth, again, is the right way of believing. So go to Romans chapter 12, another very familiar verse of scripture. But Romans 10, 9 and 10 is the foundation for us in our day and time. Romans 12, chapter 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or your logical design, your logical divine service as sons of God, and be not conformed or fashioned to this world, this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're not to be conformed to this age, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And this word renewing in Thayer's lexicon and concordance means, I love this, a renewal, a renovation. That one just really kind of got me, you know, because I like to watch HGTV, and so you see a lot of renovations. But renewing is a renovation of your mind. It's a complete change for the better. So, so be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, the right way of believing. Don't think above yourself, you know, because we all have the same amount of spirit. We all have the same foundation for the right way of believing. And that word faith is refers to the foundation that God has given for the foundation of believing. That's what that word is. And that foundation is the right way of believing. And we all got it. We all got it. So turn to Ephesians. Chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation or behavior, manner of life, the old man, that old man nature, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And that word put off is to strip off. We're to strip off that former manner of life. And then verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. And that putting on means to clothe. It means to clothe. So you're stripping it off, and you're clothing yourself with the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then verses 25 all the way down to 31, God just doesn't tell us to do this. There are all examples of what to put off and what to put on. And we've all read it and heard it, and you can read it again, maybe, you know, at a later date. But in verse 32, and it says, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. So, and go to Colossians chapter 3. I cheated. I put a marker in my Bible, in my book. We're going to read verses 9 through 14. And I'm going to read this from the Working Translation. And Colossians 2 is another example, like Ephesians 4. It says, verse 9, do not lie to one another, stripping off the old man with his acts, and clothing yourselves with the new man, which is renewed in knowledge in accordance with the image of him who created it, where there does not exist Greek and Judean, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, servant, free person, but where Christ is all things in all people. Therefore, holy, sanctified, and beloved ones, as God's chosen ones, clothe yourselves with merciful compassion, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, upholding one another, and forgiving each other. If anyone has a complaint against anyone, then even as the Lord or Christ forgave you, so also you also ought to do. So I just love this, you know, and it made me think of Jesus Christ and what his life was like. He was perfect in every way, you know. I mean, he was a man, but he had no sin nature. But he also only had the Spirit upon him, you know. I mean, when you stop and think about it. And but we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2, the back of the book. He had the perfectly renewed mind. We will too one day. When Jesus Christ comes back, we're going to have new bodies and a perfectly renewed mind. That's pretty awesome. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Walter has it in the Working Translation as, think in this manner within yourselves, which was also the thinking that was in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And so we have that Christ in us. And, you know, I thought about, you know, and I asked you a question, what are some of the attributes of Jesus Christ? Anybody?
Loving, forgiving. Yeah,
the fruits of the Spirit, basically.
You know, he was humble, he was obedient, he served, he was compassionate, he was prayerful, he was patient, and he was all love. And that's what we're supposed to have. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 22. Just switch Bibles here. So we're just, he knew God was his Father. And he knew that God would take care of him. And he emptied himself of reputation. It means, he didn't try to figure it out himself. He always went to God and said, okay, what do I do here? And God always told him what to do. He knows better than we do, that's for sure. Matthew 22 and in verse 36. Well, let's start in verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, with all thy mind. I like that. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And you don't have to turn there, but verse 37 also too is quoted in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And in verse 12, I got that wrong. I don't know what I did here. That's okay. But anyway, that section in Matthew about loving God
on that.
Deuteronomy
6:5.
6:5? Thanks, Chris.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That's what you're looking for?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Thank you. And that was one of the things that I said in the beginning, that when you look at the Word of God, the renewed mind, those two words is specific to the New Testament, but we're instructed to have the mind of Christ, and that's why. But yet, the attributes of renewing the mind are throughout the whole Word of God. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6. And in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I know most of you are familiar with Bishop K.C. Pillai and the work that he did with Orientalism, because those verses are in Orientalism. And he, in this book, he gives a little translation of these verses, Matthew 22, 34, and 35. Let not your thoughts be centered in material things, where fears and worries breed defeat and frustration, and where the doubts break through and steal your thoughts. But let your thoughts be centered in the Spirit, where neither fear nor worry breeds defeat and frustration, and where doubts do not break through and steal your thoughts. For where your thoughts are, there will your heart be also. Isn't that neat? I think that's lovely. And then go to Matthew chapter 12. So where your thoughts are, where your heart is going to be. And that's why, you know, at the beginning of this, when you think about the renewed mind is a matter of heart. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 34. It says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. It's a big deal, what you put in your heart, you know, and that starts with what you put in your mind. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse Verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. God only wants the best for us. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart, of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And I looked at this. Bishop Casey Ply did a whole book on a part of Proverbs, an Orientalism book. And in verse 7, where it says, be not wise in thy own lies, fear the Lord and depart from evil. That fear the Lord and depart from evil is be obediently devoted to the Lord, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The obedient devotion to the Lord will be medicine to thy bones. It's very, very simple. And that's what God wants for us. But all he wants us to do is to love him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to praise him and to glorify him. And in order to do that, you have to put his word into your mind. Okay, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read this from the King James and then from the Working Translation. It's verse 5. Second Corinthians 10:5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And in the Working Translation it says, demolishing reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and leading captive every kind of thinking in obedience to Christ. You know, God knows better than us. As I said a couple Sundays ago, was I'm dumb, God's smart. So I figured I'll let him do it, you know. And when I let him do it, then life is great. When I don't let him do it, then sometimes. But he's always there right with us. Go to Psalm 141. I mean, God is so good to us. He just loves us so, so much. Psalm 141, and verse 1 through 4. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice. This is a psalm of David. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Set a watch and keep the door of before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. That set a watch and keep the door is the same word. and it means set a guard. Okay. God will help you when in the renewing of your mind to set a guard about what comes out of your mouth. by helping you to keep his word in your mind. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Isn't that neat? Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. That was David's prayer to God. I think that's just so sweet that he went to God and said, help me. And of course God helped him. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work in iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. And that word eat really means to devour, you know. And that was David's prayer to God, to help me to set a watch against my lips and what comes out of my mouth. And incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works. So we're not alone, and God will help us. And this was what God showed me that night after I prayed. He showed me that, and I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know I could ask you to help me renew my mind. I did not know that, and it was just such a revelation to me. And we're going to close in Psalm 119, verse 11. Back a few pages. Do we still have to put the word in our minds? Yeah, but then God will help us. He'll help us call to mind his word. When we go to the word of God and we ask God, show me, teach me, it's all through Psalms you'll see that, where men of God say, you know, show me your word, teach me your word, and God will do that for you. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, it says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against me. And that word hid is treasured up. That thy word have I treasured up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And that word sin literally means to miss the mark, you know. And we all do miss the mark, but when we treasure God's word in our hearts and keep it in our thoughts, it gets into our heart, and that's what emanates believing, you know, because you will really start to trust God and believe his word and see him work in your heart and life, you know. And it's just, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when you look at his life and what he did, it's just mind-blowing. You know, it makes me, you know, he would go all day long and then get up early in the morning and go in the mountains and pray, you know. And you know, God can do mighty, mighty things in our hearts and lives when we go to him instead of trying to figure it out for ourselves. I'm trying to get much, much better at that. Why not to try to figure it out myself, but to let him direct my steps?